Journey. Welcome, if you're this morning joining us for the first time. As a church, we're on a journey. Always it seems though God has his people on a journey. And we're on a journey in finding out about this intangible stuff the Bible calls faith. From the beginning to the end of the Bible, this stuff called faith appears again and again and again. And it seems to be the way of bringing what God has for me down into my experience. Faith seems to be the key to so much. Faith seems to be the key to taking what's written in this book and getting it from here in this book into here in this heart. Faith seems to have a power, supernatural power, and we're on this journey finding out about faith, wanting to grow in faith so that we can have this authentic faith, this real faith that God wants us to grow in. And so let's pray and ask for God's help this morning. Father, thank you this morning that today as your people we're gathered here because we love you, because we want to know you more, Lord, because we want to grow in our relationship with you. And we acknowledge, Lord, that we want more faith. Lord, we want more of you. We want this stuff called faith to grow in our hearts and lives so that, Lord, we could have everything that you have for us. We want to receive it. We don't want a theoretical faith, a theoretical Christianity. We want something that's real and powerful and working in our experience. So we're asking, Lord, today that you'd work by the power of your Spirit in our hearts. Amen. As we're going down this journey, we've come to a point in faith where we're looking at fasting and faith. Thematic, because of course next week we are fasting. Just to kind of start off with, there's a book that Bob... Bob got me last week, called Fasting for Spiritual Breakthrough. It's a book that kind of goes through the Bible, looking at fasting in the Bible in different ways, different people fasting, and different reasons people fasted, and how they fasted, and what happened when they did. It's a very good book, and well worth getting hold of if you want to know more. Bob's got some on order for the bookstore, so if you want to have a word with him, if you want to find out more about that. Very interesting. There's lots of Christian books on different topics. The author said he looked into the topic of fasting to write this book, and he said there wasn't a book in 100 years that had been written on the topic of fasting. I don't know if that's true, but that's what he said. Just because there seems, it's one of those things that there's lots of things that are kind of, I'd like to find out this, find out that. Fasting is something that we look at today that I think is really key that I understand. And I haven't finished that book yet, so you can't borrow it off me. But I think it's really fantastic that this faith and fasting seem to be intertwined. Not that fasting is essential for faith, but there seems to be, there's some linking there between the two. If I do fast, I've got to have an attitude of faith about my fasting, because fasting without faith, fasting with no faith, out of just religious obligation, is something that, I don't think it achieves really what we set out to achieve. Many religions, in fact, I think all religions, all major religions of the world, have fasting somewhere in their kind of way of doing things. Rachel Hickson, one of the speakers who was on last year's GNC camp, those that were on there, she related the experience where she was on an aeroplane. She sat next to a guy who was with her. I hadn't met this guy before. And when it came to serve out the meal, she noticed that he said no thanks to when they handed out, you know, those hot, lovely, delicious meals, you know, that they ship out on. Actually, depends who you fly with, I suppose, how good it is. But they hand out the meal, and this guy said no thanks. So she thought, oh, we must be a Christian. Maybe he's fasting. So she struck up a conversation, and without saying she was a Christian, she kind of was probing him as to why he wasn't eating. And he said that he was a Satanist that was fasting against Christians. Many, many religions use fasting. Fasting is a spiritual tool. And it's something that we've got to use with faith. Because there's something very powerful in fasting if we combine it with faith. If we don't combine it with faith, then it could just be a way of losing weight. Or it could just be a detox for my body. I came across an advert for a beautiful holiday in, I think it was Cyprus, £2,000 it was for 2 weeks. And this holiday was a fasting, it wasn't a spiritual holiday, it was a fasting detox. So you pay £2,000 to get on a plane at Luton Airport, fly to this beautiful island, and enjoy the sunshine, relax, and not eat anything for 2 weeks. And then fly back. And there were, I thought, well, that's a good way of making money, isn't it? And so fasting could be just detox. But we're looking at more than that, you'll be glad to know today. That I believe fasting is a spiritual, powerful tool that we can use, and let's learn how to use it. My personal journey of fasting is one characterized by failure. So I'm not standing here today as someone saying how glorious it is to fast, or how nice it is, or how much I've enjoyed it. But I'm speaking as someone who's tried it, and failed. But push through to find a way of fasting that I can kind of do. And I want to help us today to push through in this whole area of fasting. A couple of months ago, Barbara and I sat down for a meal. We sat down there to enjoy our meal. As we sat down, it started to rain. You might think, what's the big deal about that? The problem is, it was raining on the inside of the house. But from the ceiling, it was raining. And I thought, that's a bit odd. So I ran upstairs to the bathroom, and the tap in our sink was just spontaneously sprung a leak, and water was coming out, and it was going through the floor and then down onto the ceiling, onto where we were sat. So I kind of rushed for some tools, and Mr. Bodget DIY, I can fix it, kind of having a go at this, having a go at that. And the only way I could resolve it was by turning the whole water off. It was a bit inconvenient for toilet and shower and all that kind of stuff. But at least I stopped the water. So over the next few days, I tried various little ruses of sawing this bit off and putting that bit up there and this spanner up there. And I couldn't solve it until I went to the plumber's shop. I got a friendly plumber's shop on Queen's Crescent. Went to see the guy there. And the guy said, you need this special tool. All plumbers carry one, and it's a special tool. It's the most strange-shaped tool that goes up under the sink, grabs hold of the underside of the tap, enables you to take the pipe off that goes up into. Otherwise, you can't get it off. It's just impossible. You can't get a spanner, can't get your hand up there. So I paid me £5 for this tool, went home, perfect, fixed it. Now, that tool, it's only a tool, but without it, I was just bodging about. I want us to see this morning that fasting is a tool. It's only a tool. There's nothing about fasting. It's only a tool. But without it, for some things, we could just be bodging about. There's some power in fasting that I want us to look at, because it's effective for certain things. So just to sort of start off today by saying, you know, fasting isn't a major thing in the Bible. It's not kind of one of the major things like faith. It's brought up from time to time as something like my tool. I put my tool away in the drawer now. But next time it starts to rain on the inside, I know exactly where to go to get my tool fix my tap. Jesus talked a number of times about fasting. And in one of the passages in book of Matthew, he talked there, he explained in this passage called the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, talked about the spiritual life of a Christian, the Christian living. One of the things he mentioned were three spiritual disciplines, three things we can do. Jesus said, talked about fasting, talked about praying, and he talked about giving. Three things we can do that have spiritual consequences. They're practical things we do that have a spiritual influence, a spiritual effect. And this is the passage this morning that I'd just like us to look at. So if you've got your Bibles, you want to turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. Let's just see if I can improve that a bit. And this is the passage that Jesus said. Jesus says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men their fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so it will not be obvious to men that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." And in this, you know, to start off this kind of thing we're going to look at this morning, one of the things you notice as you read this, first at the very beginning, and then secondly halfway through, it says when, this word when. when you fast, and then, but when you fast. And in this passage that Jesus was teaching his followers about Christian living, he used a word when that means, I'll tell you what it means, because I wrote it down, what it means, the exact kind of literal power of it. It says when, it means whenever or at the time, and it's used of things which one assumes will really occur, but the time of those occurrences is not definitely fixed. In other words, it's saying what Jesus said, when you fast. So it's an assumption in the teaching of Jesus that fasting is something that is something we will do as followers of Jesus. Now, obviously, that's written to a culture and to a time where fasting was a lot more common. It was a lot more, a lot more people fasted. But nevertheless, I want to be clear this morning. I'm not this morning trying to twist your arm or dump something on you or make you feel guilty or bad or trying to force you to do anything. Not at all. I believe there's a spiritual tool here that if we pick it up and use it at the right time, it's going to result in effect. It's going to result in impact that otherwise we would just be bodging around. And there are some things that I think that where fasting is really, really powerful. If we look at what New Testament, what Jesus taught on fasting, Jesus himself fasted. He said to his followers that when he ascended to heaven, then his followers would fast. So expectation was that the day he ascended to heaven, that was the season which we're now in, when disciples, when followers of Jesus would fast. And Mark 2:20, Jesus talks about that, how that's what happens. And the first thing I want to kind of to point on make this morning about fasting is it's not kind of, I don't believe it's a kind of optional extra or a stage two or something for spiritual people or something for people that have got a mystical higher level of spiritual life. But I think it's one of the basic toolkits. If you're a plumber, you've got one of these special spanners that I've got in your bag. It's there because you need to use it. And fasting's like that. It's something for us all to have in our toolkit that we can use. Listen to Moody, the great American evangelist, said this: if I say I will fast when God impresses it on me, you never will. His advice was this: take the yoke upon you. Do you know that we've got a problem in our culture, in our Western culture? Fasting is alien. It almost seems a bit weird to talk about fasting. Almost seems something that's kind of a bit strange. Listen to Richard Forster writing about this in one of his books. He says, in a culture where the landscape is dotted with the shrines to the golden arches, presumably means McDonald's, I guess, an assortment of pizza temples, all you can eat buffets, fasting seems out of place. It seems out of step with the times. But, you know, I believe that we live in a world that is so uncertain. We live in a time of tremendous political, spiritual uncertainty. And so fasting, I think, is a spiritual tool. And we need to learn to use all the spiritual tools that we have at our disposal. I think God wants us to learn. So let's have a look this morning, just shortly and briefly, at what this passage is saying. Firstly, it says this: do not look as somber as the hypocrites do. They disfigure their faces to show men they're fasting. And fasting is an inward attitude. It's something outward I do, but it starts with an inward desire. I don't just fast because I think I'll fast. There's something inside. There's an inward desire to achieve a spiritual goal. There's an inward something inside me, an inward thing. And then the outward kind of expression of that is fasting is kind of the outward tool of kind of putting that into practice. And so it's important that I kind of focus any fasting, that my focus is on the spiritual reality, not just on the kind of mechanics of whatever I'm going to do. John Piper, in his book about hungering for God, he says this: if the reward you aim at in fasting is the admiration of others, that is what you will get, and that is all you will get. In other words, the danger of hypocrisy is that it is so successful. It aims at the praise of people and it succeeds, but that's all. You know, Jesus points here at the hypocrisy, people that fast to show themselves some kind better, some kind more spiritual, some kind more devout, some kind of outward show of, look at me, I'm fasting. That means I'm better. That means I have more. That means there's something different about me. And Jesus said, rubbish, it's not like that at all. It's an inward spiritual thing. It's not some outward kind of thing we do. And he goes on to saying, but when you fast, put oil on your face, wash your head, so it will not be obvious to people that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And so, you know, Jesus is not asking us to be disingenuous and to lie. You know, someone says, are you fasting? No, I'm not when I am fasting. Jesus is saying, just continue doing the normal things you do in your life. Don't kind of leave the makeup off and try and kind of actually put a few lines down here and hair all disheveled to kind of impress people the fact I'm doing something. But just continue doing whatever you're doing. Continue in your everyday. And this fast here, Jesus was talking about a continue your everyday fast. Now, Jesus went into this desert and fasted for 40 days and he didn't eat any food in that time. If you don't eat any food, if you just drink water, you can't just continue your everyday life for 40 days unless God supernaturally and amazingly calls you to do that and gives you the strength to do it. Your body just can't do it, not to continue your everyday thing. Jesus withdrew for a period where he was fasting. It was a special kind of time. But here, Jesus is talking about an everyday kind of fast, a fast where you continue your daily responsibilities. You go to work and do a good day's work. You don't go to work and are just so terrible. Everyone at work thinks, cool, he's fasting again. Isn't he terrible? Because he's fasting. He's just a real pain to be with. Irritable. Always looking, always asking what we got for lunch. But this is an everyday kind of fast where you continue everyday life. Do you see what he's saying? Just wash your face. Just continue what you're doing. So that it's not obvious, so that you're not parading your fasting. Because it's an inward spiritual thing that's happening. This is what Jesus is talking about, something that continues your everyday life. But one of the things here is that there is an effect of fasting. If you fast without food, or if you fast without TV for a week, and if, say, for example, you watch, an average person in this country watches about three hours or 4 hours TV a day. If you go without that for a week, then you might sort of start to feel a bit kind of withdrawn, about a bit kind of withdrawal symptoms. So then if you go without food for a period of time and just drink water, drink fruit juice, then it can make you feel cold, or it can have some physical effects. The important thing about fasting is there is some cost. Jesus is not denying the cost of fasting. There is a cost of fasting. If there's no cost of fasting, it's not fasting. If I say I'm going to fast between breakfast and lunchtime, what cost is there to that? What cost is it to me? If I say I'm not watching TV for a week, but I never watch TV anyway, then what is that? There has to be, for fasting to be fasting, it's not a question of masochism. It's not a question of trying to inflict pain on myself. It's not trying to make myself miserable. But one of the things about fasting is there is a cost. So whatever you do, there has to be some cost to it. Not that we're buying God's favor. Not that we're twisting God's arm around his back saying, you do this because I'm fasting, you better do this. No, Jesus goes to tell us what the effect on God is of our fasting. It is not to persuade him to do something he didn't want to do. It's not to buy us spiritual brownie points. There's another thing. But firstly, just to say, fasting must cost us something. You see, these three disciplines Jesus talks about, fasting, praying, and giving. If I pray, it costs me something. Because rather than doing other things, I'm there before God saying, I can't do this. God, you're going to have to. It costs my time. Time is precious. I'm giving my time to God because I'm praying. Praying costs me something. Giving costs me something, obviously, because the £10 I had in my pocket, I'm giving to God. Now, I haven't got that £10 to go to McDonald's, whatever I'm going to do with that £10. It's actually cost me something. The same with fasting is there is a cost. There is a cost to it. And so that's, you know, something to bear in mind to it. That's, I want to be honest with you, in walking down this path of trying to learn to fast, that I'm walking down, that we're all walking down, I've had times where I felt ill. I've been so busy, I haven't had any time to pray. So, God, what's the point of me fasting? Because I'm just so busy, I haven't even got the time to pray. It doesn't seem kind of to be work out this. Do you know that anything you want to learn, you have to practice. Anything that's worthwhile in life, you practice. All these musicians up here this morning have practiced. Some more than others. Yeah. If you want to be good at anything, you have to practice. And so fasting, the first time I fasted, I set myself to fast. And I started off, and by 3 o'clock, I had a headache. I was desperate, and I just piled into the coffee and the Mars bars. And I just said, fasting is not for me. It's not for me. It's for other people. It's not for me. And anything we want to grow into, there's going to be a cost, and there's going to be a learning in it. And so if I want to learn any spiritual discipline, praying, whatever it is, I'm going to have to be willing to put the effort in to learn how to do it and to adapt and say, well, this doesn't work for me. This does work for me. The wonderful thing here, do you see Jesus is not being prescriptive. He's not saying you must do this and then you must do this. You must fast over these kind of times. You must do a six or six. He's not saying that. And that's the wonderful thing about the liberty of the kingdom of God is we're all individuals. And as a church, we want to fast together, but all in our creative ways, all the different ways that there are that we can before God say, God, this is a week, next week, I want it, it's special. And I want it to really come before you in a special way. And that's the thing about it. That's the wonderful thing about the Christian faith, is that God knows we're individuals. And so we're not trying to compete with each other. There's not a kind of pecking order or hierarchy. It's good though to talk about it openly with other people to find out tips. I've learned a lot by asking other people. And I realize sometimes I'm not like other people. Other people can easily do this, that, and the other. I can't. I can do this, that, and the other. And that's the wonderful thing, is not to give up and say, well, it's just not for me. What is a way? Find a way. Keep trying different ways. Don't overstretch yourself. If I say that I'm going to continue working, I've got a busy job, I've got a family, I've got my social whatever things, I'm going to do this, that, and the other, and I'm going to eat nothing at all but drink water for a week, that's very, if you've never done it before, that is very, very hard. And so it's not a question of bravado, of I can do it, I'll show them. It's only between you and God. There's no one else to be impressed. Okay? Because it's just between you and God. So you decide what you feel is the right appropriate step. It's much better. This is something really important. It's much better to succeed at a small step than to set yourself up to fail by trying to take a big step. Because once you take a small step and succeed by God's grace, praise God, I can then take another step and I can build on that. I think it's very important. It's an amazing spirit. There's something really spiritual about this fasting business. Look what it says here. It says, when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face. It won't be obvious, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You see what it says here? It says, fasting is heavenward. Your Father who is unseen, He sees what is done in secret. God sees when we fast. God sees it. God sees that. I feel this morning, just as we're gathered together, it's really important to say that however small step you take in terms of fasting, that God sees. It's not about comparing myself with someone who's done a 40-day water fast. It's not about a comparison thing. Jesus absolutely debunks that in this, what he's saying here. The person who sees is your heavenly Father. And that's the only person you're fasting before. I'm not going to ask you. No one's got the right to ask you what you do. It's up to you what you do. But what you do is before your heavenly Father. And that's fantastic to think that God looks down and sees when his children fast. Because this is the power of fasting. This is why it's effective and potent. Because I'm saying to God, I feel strongly enough about something, whatever issue it is. I feel so strongly enough that I'm not just going to sit back and say, well, you know, if God answers my prayer, great. If he doesn't, great. You know, so what? Whatever happens, so what? But I'm saying to God, God, I feel so strongly about this, I'm going to actually take a step that will cost me something. You might think, cool, what cost is it to just not watch TV? But actually, if you watch TV for 1 hour a day, and then for those 7 hours that week, you pray instead, that is a big cost, actually, to get down on your knees and to pray. And the thing is that God sees. This is the power in fasting, that we're fasting before God. And so as I come and I say, God, I feel so stirred about this issue in my life, or this issue for us as a cell group, or this issue for us as a church, or this issue on the news, or this issue in society or in my family. I feel so stirred that I want to do something. God, what can I do? You know, the very reason we pray is because we can't do anything. Because if I could do, I wouldn't pray, I'd go and do it. Do you see what I'm saying? If there's a situation that needs to be fixed in my life or someone else's life, if I could fix it, I'd just go and fix it. If I can't fix it because I haven't got the power or ability to do it, then I pray because I realize there's one who can do something. I'm coming to God and saying, God, please do something. So there's something tremendous humbling about prayer, is that I'm coming to God and saying, God, I can't, but I believe you can do something about this situation, about whatever it is in my life or someone else's life. It's coming in humility, and it's coming in dependency, and it's coming in saying, God, I can't, but I believe you can. And fasting kind of brings something more to the party, as it were. Because fasting is me saying, God, I can't do anything about this situation. I can do nothing. I've tried and I can't. But I want to do something. So I'm going to fast this week. And so as I do that, I'm doing the only thing I can do. I can't fix it. Is I'm doing a token before God. And it doesn't twist God's arm, and it doesn't kind of give you more credit. It doesn't kind of... But what it does is it means, Jesus said, your Father looks down and sees. That's the power of fasting. Your Heavenly Father looks down and sees. He sees what you're doing, and he sees what you're praying about. What type of fasting is Jesus talking about? Well, as we looked in this passage, he's talking about a fast which is just, he doesn't say how to here, it's just some way of continuing your everyday life and fasting. That's the context of this passage. So it could be, as I said, media, doing without media, doing without a telephone, doing without TV, whatever. Or it could be food. Over on the information point, I've got a sheet, a practical kind of fasting sheet with some kind of details that if you're on medication, or there's if you're nursing mum or pregnant or stuff, there's issues you've got to be careful of in terms of fasting from food. Over there, there's a kind of sheet about it. But it's up to you. It's a personal thing. It's a choice that you have to make. I want to just finish this morning by looking at this last bit. Do you see what Jesus said here, what our Heavenly Father will do? It says, our Heavenly Father will reward you. Now, that's an amazing thing, because so much in our Christian life is not by reward. We're not saved because of, as a reward for being good. We've not got a place in heaven as a reward. We're not forgiven our sins as a reward because we've done this, that, and the other. We've not done so many good things that we deserve a reward to outweigh the bad things. The word reward doesn't appear much. In fact, it appears nowhere at all in the whole context of Jesus' death and our sins and our place in heaven and our ability to know God and come to God. The word reward doesn't come in terms of what we do, our part in it, because it's all by this lovely word grace. We don't deserve it. God gives it. His mercy, God just gives it. God just kindly bestows it on my life. But as part of God's family, there is a reward. And a number of places through the Bible, it talks about the reward that the God wants to give to his children, those that are part of his family. God has rewards. And as you look through the New Testament, you see different things that where God will reward his children. Some of those rewards are for now. Majority, I think, are for heaven. It seems that Paul, the Apostle Paul was very much looking forward to going to be with Jesus for the reward that he would get as he stood before him. And so this reward here that Jesus talks about, he says that as we fast before God, our Father sees, as he sees, then our Father will reward. Now, I believe what Jesus is primarily talking about in there is the reward of something happening in my character, something happening in my Christian character, God doing something inside me to make me more like Jesus, which is fantastic. But also the reward, I believe, is that God will answer our prayers. Not in the sense that I fasted for 40 days, therefore, God, you're obliged to do something. I've gone without TV all this week. God, you better come up with something on Friday. Not at all. But at the end of the day, it is our Heavenly Father, and our Heavenly Father loves to give good things. The heart of our Heavenly Father is to give good things to his children. And when he sees our heart, when he sees, it thrills God's heart. When he sees the fact that we're passionate enough about something, not just to continue our everyday lives, but to say, God, I feel really, there's something here really I want you to do in my family. There's something here I really want you to do amongst my friends, where I work, in my finances. There's something, God, I feel so stirred. I want you to do something. And so as we do that, God looks down from heaven. And God, I believe, answers our prayers. Now, God may not answer the prayer in the way you want or when you want. That's because God knows the future. No one else does. God has the future in his hands. And so God knows when you pray, God knows what's the best outcome is for you and everyone else. So when I pray, fasting doesn't get God to tick the boxes and say, right, it'll happen. You've asked for it on Friday, Saturday, here it comes, get ready. It's because we don't know how God's going to do it. God may answer it in a way totally, totally different and in a very, very different time frame from what you want or expect. But that's God. That's his. That's what he. That's up to him. He's God. I want us this morning to see that fasting is something very practical. It's something we can all do. Every single one of us can incrementally take a step forward in fasting. All of us can. We pick up that tool and we use it. And we learn by using it how to use it more. If your fasting doesn't work for you this time, don't give up, throw your hands. Well, I tried. You know, I didn't work. Never mind. That's for other people, not for me. Determine to try a new way. Ask other people. Say, what works for you? How does it work for you? What kind of tips have you got from in your experience? Let's be humble, you know, before each other. Because one of the things I feel for in a culture of golden arches, as I was talking, and pizza temples, that it's important, I feel, for us as God's people, we learn to use these spiritual tools. And so one characteristic of us as a church is that we know how to fast. Because God's taught us, and as individuals, we've walked down that path. Let's pray together. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Lord, Father, thank you this morning. We want to thank you so much that our standing with you is purely on the basis of grace, on what Jesus has done for us. And Lord, we humbly and wonderfully accept and rejoice in our salvation this morning. And we stand as your children, those saved because you're a kind God. Those who are going to heaven because you're a merciful God. Those who are in relationship with you because of what you've done, not because of what we've done. And Lord, we know that you're a God who can't be bribed. We can't twist your arm. We can't make you do things you don't want to do. But Lord, we know you are a good God. a God full of good things to give to your children. And so we're asking, Lord, that you would take us on a journey individually as a church, that we would move into this spiritual discipline of fasting, that we would grow in what it means to use the tool that you've given us, that we will be effective in our praying, effective as we come before you. And Lord, as we've read in this passage today, that Lord, in this week, or in a week's time when we start to fast, however we're going to do it, you said there, Lord, that you will see. Father, you will see. You'll see each of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for that promise. And thank you for the promise, Jesus, that you said that we would be rewarded. We would be rewarded as we do these things. Father, thank you. Thank you so much. And Holy Spirit, I just want to invite this morning that you come amongst us. Move amongst us. Speak to each of our hearts. I want you this morning, please, everyone here gathered here, to feel light. Reject any sense of heaviness, obligation, onerous kind of, oh, this is a really onerous kind of heavy thing being laid on me. Not at all. Not at all. I want you to just be personal, absolutely personal, between you and your Heavenly Father. But just over this week, to be talking to your Father, your Heavenly Father, about what would be a step forward, what would be for you a way that you could continue your everyday life and yet you could fast before God. Thank you, Lord. I get a real sense this morning of God equipping his people, that as a soldier, the picture that Apostle Paul uses of a Roman soldier being equipped with tools for the spiritual battle, that God's giving us tools. Paul says the weapons of our warfare are spiritual. They're spiritual weapons, powerful weapons that achieve something. Oh, Heavenly Father, take us in this journey of learning how to use these weapons, these tools, these things that you've given us, Lord. So we're going to do something very different this morning to finish our time, if it's okay. What I'd like you to do is just with the person next to you, don't leave anyone out, but just ask that person, if there's twos or threes, just what questions have come up in your mind today or before to do with fasting. What kind of issues are kind of around it, this whole area of fasting? Just to come up with a question. Then I'm going to just invite you to share any of those questions. So we just to finish off with this morning, just so we can finish in a positive way with addressing just any of the things that kind of may be in the back of our minds. So could you just kind of huddle in twos or threes and just ask each other what questions have been in your mind in the past about fasting? What questions have kind of come up in this whole kind of area? It's not about having unbelief just to have questions, because by having questions we can address those and that can help us move forward. Doesn't mean that I'm unbelief and I'm negative because it's an issue, because I've got loads of questions. Who's got something? Of you're busy talking. Who's got something they would like to? Who's gonna be brave? Emily. Any questions? What you were talking about, the issues that you were talking about, to share them more with us all. Yes, Sarah. Come in. Okay. Say it nice and loud, then.
Okay. How to get more passion for the things that we're fasting and praying for.
Okay, that's a very good question, because you know, I think this whole thing of passion, of getting passion for the issues that are before us, is a bit of a chicken and egg situation, in that if I say, God, I want passion to be able to fast and to pray, God, if you give me some passion, then I'll fast and pray. I think you can be in a situation where you're kind of waiting for God to do something in your heart. I think it starts, to be honest, with me going to God and saying, God, this is my heart. I don't feel tremendously kind of stirred about this. I know it's an issue. I know it's something that I want to be resolved, but God, I wish I cared more. I wish I cared more about these things. And bringing that honesty, I think if I come in humility and honesty to God, then God can stir something in me. God can stir me up. And I can start on that road of fasting and praying, asking that as I start down this road, because I think that's where faith comes in, but I'm starting down the road saying, God, as I'm going down this road, please give me a burden. Give me such a desire to want to see your kingdom come, to want to see your resolution to it. But I think I think we have to start. We have to start with just whatever little bit of passion I've got. However tiny it is, I've got to come humbly before God with that, and then start to bring that before God, asking that God would increase it. I think it's important to do it rather than not do it, because I think sometimes I fasted feeling nothing really. I think I better, you know, a good time, good opportunity to fast, whatever. And then in doing it, something, it can stir something. But I think it's good to start. Any other questions, comments, responses to Sarah, anything? Vicky.
One thing I've battled with a bit is if somebody does notice you're fasting and you have to speak, if somebody directly asks you, you know, why aren't you eating, what's the most positive way you can explain fasting to a non-Christian?
who's got a good one for that? Who's got a good answer for that one? Someone asked you that question. A person that isn't a Christian. I mean, actually, it's a great opportunity to share something. Because of the work that I do here in the church, the other jobs that I've done in the past, I've had to bring in my Christianity, in a sense, looking for opportunity excuses. But this kind of responsibility I've got here, working here in the church, when people ask you, what do you do? Then it gives me a launch pad. I think fasting is a bit of a same launch pad, actually. When people ask us, we can, obviously we have to think of ways that don't sound spooky and weird and kind of, you know, strange. But I think it's an opportunity. I think fasting is an opportunity that people, if the people ask us, we can think of ways of explaining why we're not eating, and the fact that it is something that we feel stirred about, something we feel, you know, issues. You don't have to go into the details of it, but we feel so strongly about something that we want to do something about it. We feel fasting helps us. I've said something like fasting helps me pray. I mean, that's a bit of a, sometimes that's true, sometimes that's not true. Sometimes fasting doesn't help me pray, because I find sometimes after I've fasted, I can pray more clearly if I'm struggling particularly in a particular fasting way of fasting. Anyone got any other ideas as to what you could do if someone asks you? Philippa.
I think a lot of other faiths actually fast, don't they? I mean, you know, the Muslims fast, and I remember having a discussion with a friend who was a Hindu, and I was fasting at the time, and she said, oh, well, we fast as well. So it was a great sort of way of finding bridges, actually, with other people, rather than it being an alienating thing, actually. I didn't find it that scary.
Okay. So she's trying to use it as a bridge, looking at opportunity, trying to use it as a bridge. Other issues, questions? Yes, more.
How long does it take when you keep fasting and there's no answer to prayer?
That's a brilliant question. That's a very good question, because Because that, I mean, I think that's probably the key thing in this whole kind of, hang on a minute, sheep, in this whole kind of thing we've looked at here. Do you see the promise, Maureen? Look, if you look at what Jesus said here, is that the promise is that God sees us. So if I fast in faith, if I fast because I believe, you know, something stirs me and I want to pray about something, that God does see me, and it says God will reward you. It doesn't say when or how or in what kind of time frame. And so I think that we can't go into a week of fasting thinking, I've got this issue, I need £1,000 by the end of the week, you know, for my rent or whatever it is. And God, you better come up, and fasting is going to be like the key that unlocks it. What fasting may do is change me, my attitude, and change something in me, increasing my faith so I can believe, actually. But the thing is, fasting isn't a magic thing that somehow kind of gets...